There are thousands of events happening all around us that are looking for speakers. And at Mic Drop Workshop, we want to help events find amazing women speakers like you. We send out a free weekly newsletter with gig opportunities. So join over 200,000 subscribers at micdropworkshop.com/newsletter. Okay, let's get started.
I think calling people in is just really important, acknowledging that, right, there may be inequity that has happened in the past. If we see some underestimated individuals, are we sharing their posts? Are we celebrating them? Are we speaking their name in rooms they're not in? That's how we as individuals can really amplify our voice, amplify the power that we have.
Welcome to Amplify with Jess Ekstrom, a show designed to help women get out of their head and into their zone of influence. My guest today is former student and superstar Antonetta Mosley, Chief Executive Officer at I Follow the Leader, a leadership consulting firm specializing in DEI strategy, initiatives, and consulting. I met Antonetta first through a mutual friend, Kristen Carver-Smith, at The New Fashioned, and then Antonetta came through Mic Drop Academy.
For the last 7 years, I've done training and workshops and so much, but being a keynote speaker is a different side of that coin. And so I was just so grateful to learn, to dig in, and then just the community of women. I literally was talking to another one of my speaker sisters this morning, right?
So I love it.
Yeah, just really grateful for the community. What I really found out over the last 7 years doing DEI work is I believe courage is the biggest missing component. And so I've worked with top leaders, Fortune 500 companies, global nonprofits, and there was something that kept coming up. And it was often leaders and change agents' inability to have courageous conversations, which we're calling them courage-fueled conversations, because kind of like Jess said with Mic Drop, we've realized you have to be willing to come and fuel yourself and also get refueled from others around you to really be successful. So the book really helps people to consistently cultivate courage.
And I think you just did or explained one of the best tips that I can give for anyone who is looking to become a speaker or a thought leader is you look at the landscape around you. You look at all the information that you have in your personal experience and you pull out the theme. You're like, after all of the work that I've done, the number one barrier that I saw was courage. And yeah. So for whoever's listening, that's a really great and simple way to think about what do I want to speak on? What impact do I want to have? Well, I like to say, listen to the chorus. What's the thing that keeps coming up and keeps repeating itself? For you, it's courage. For me, when I looked at my story, it was optimism. Lately, if I can pinpoint the last 5 years, it's been more imposter syndrome, which is where I feel like my message is heading a bit more because the course has changed for me. And so it's listen to the course. And for you, that was courage, and courage has such a direct impact on DEI. How has the DEI landscape changed over the years, especially since the pandemic?
Yeah, I think, for me and other practitioners, I think it's really important to have those friends in speaking or whatever field you're in that you can go to for support and for benchmarking. And so what we've really seen is people have wanted to get more engaged in culture building, in diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging, accessibility, but often don't have the tools. And so what we say at our firm is don't DIY your DEI. And so, right, making sure to get expertise when it comes to marketing or IT or fundraising, right? There's always a budget attached to it. We know to get more people in, we're going to have to spend dollars. Often with DEI, leaders go, okay, let's take our really enthusiastic change agents in the organization and let's put this on them. And so while it's great to have a committee, you really need someone who's seen the landscape and has done the work before to help lead you in the right direction. So We're seeing a lot of well-meaning people doing more, but often, unfortunately, a lot of harm happening when it's not done the right way to create psychological safety.
Exactly. And don't DIY your DEI. I love that. Mm-hmm. Now, specifically in the world of speaking and thought leadership, you know, Mic Drop Workshop started because I saw the discrepancy of women and gender, the gender imbalance in speaking and in books and thought leadership. But I am curious because, like, as a woman myself, that's what I can speak to and that's what I've felt. But for you as a Black woman, like, there's so much tokenism, not just in speaking, but in thought leadership and in the world in general. What can we do, like, to help end that and uplift different voices?
Yeah, I purposely wore this shirt, and so I'll come up a little, but it has underrepresented crossed out and it has underestimated. And so this was something done with Arlen Hamilton, who's a venture capitalist who really helps underestimated founders. Yeah, and so a partnership with her and Message in the Bottle. But I think it really is, you know, starting to change our language, starting to change the way we think about things, right? Thinking of, instead of minorities, right, can we use underestimated individuals? And I see someone saying, let's change the narrative. Yes, right? Our language matters. And so how are we describing ourselves? How are we describing others? And so acknowledging that, right, there may be inequity that has happened in the past. And so really, as leaders, determining what can I individually and us collectively, whether you're at an organization, association, what can we do about this? And it does take intentionality for sure.
And it also takes, I feel like, you know, and sometimes I struggle with this because we can talk about like the changes needing to be made at the top all day long. Like, it shouldn't be just white men picking speakers or filling roles. But at the end of the day, sometimes we don't have that direct, like, impact in order to change who's at the top. But what we can change is where we're sitting, where we're on the other end as a speaker. And so as a speaker, like, some of the things that we can do are who we refer to events. I like to think like the kind of two ways that we can help change the speaking industry as a speaker, even if we're not the ones on the other end of the table picking speakers, are who we refer to events after we've spoken there, or if we can't do that event. And also finding ways to politely call up events that lack diversity. Can you speak about that? Because you are wonderful at doing this. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I really believe we're in a time with social media and just the current climate where often people believe in calling people out. And so I really focus on, especially as a DEI practitioner, how can we call people in versus calling people out? And so the call people in looks like a personal email, right? A personal message, not trying to write blast. And sometimes you may have to call out, but are you willing to call people in more than you're calling out? And so I can share a personal example for me, right? My name is Antonetta. It's actually Italian and Latin. However, most people have never heard Antonetta unless they're Italian. And so often I have things that occur with my name. And so at one event, right, I was an opening keynote and my name was mispronounced. And so that kind of throws you off like, oh, hold on, I thought we had this. But after I was able to just send an email, right, to the event planners of, hey, this really helps me to come into a space well if my name is pronounced well and, right, if the moderator is aware of that. And so I think calling people in is just really important. And also, just like you said, Jess, there's so much we can do individually. And so if we see some underestimated individuals, are we sharing their posts? Are we celebrating them? Are we speaking their name in rooms they're not in? That's how we as individuals can really amplify our voice, amplify the power that we have.
I love that. That's accessible to all of us, even if you're not referring someone to go on a stage, sharing their posts. Like you said, sharing their name in rooms they're not in is an easy thing that we can all do. You know, one of the things that we do in Mic Drop Workshop and Mic Drop Academy is we come up with what's called a speaker statement. And that speaker statement is like, hi, my name is Antonetta and I help people blank. And you have yours on your LinkedIn profile. So for anyone who's not following Antonetta right now, please do. But what that does is, of course, it brings you clarity on like who you are and what you speak on, but it also helps other people talk about you in, like you said, rooms that you're not in. And so many of the time when I'm backstage, and that's kind of when, you know, before or after I'm at an event and I'm with the event planner, that's kind of when I pry of like, so who else is in your lineup? Like what's coming up on the docket for next year? And I'm kind of going through my Rolodex of like who I should refer. But I can't just be like, oh, you should book Antonetta. She's a great speaker, because that's not scratching the itch of like what they need. I need to say, you need to book Antonetta because she's going to make your audience wildly courageous. She's going to change the landscape for your DEI. She's going to make people think differently about inclusivity. And I have those kind of word nuggets from you to make it easy to talk about you. So for anyone else who's listening about like thinking of how do I get, you know, referred, or how do I get on those stages, coming up with that speaker statement, I always think is step number one. Hi, my name is blank and I help people blank, because then it makes people easy to talk about you. Would you agree?
I agree. And, you know, I can't show you all right now, but my speaker statement is actually on my laptop. So it is actually on the back of my laptop. So whether I'm in the airport or whether I'm somewhere working, getting coffee, people look and read my speaker statement, and people will often come up to me based on my speaker statement, right? It has a website, it has my speaker statement. And so I think what Jess said is just so pivotal, is your speaker statement needs to just be second nature to you. It needs to be something where even if people don't totally know that's your speaker statement, that they can go, right, Antonetta helps with courage, right? She helps you consistently cultivate courage. So Mic Drop really helped me with that in refining. And so I had done work with Kristen and her team on the media side and refining. And then I did work with Jess and her team and Mic Drop Academy. And that was those two combinations of really honing in on my voice and my message and like, who am I in this season? What do I need to share with the world? Those were just a game changer. So yeah, really, really critical to get that statement.
Have you ever wanted to guest on more podcasts? As a speaker, it's an easy way to practice your talking points and figure out what works, all while expanding your reach to already existing audiences. Go to podcastally.com and use the promo code AMPLIFY for 10% off their podcast guesting service. That's podcastally.com, promo code AMPLIFY. Need a boost to start your week? Every Monday, I send out a hype text as some food for thought for your week. Text me the word hype to 704-228-9495. That's the word hype to 704-228-9495. P.S. I actually read these texts and try to respond when I can. So tell me what you think of this podcast.
Now, let's get into your personal speaking career. What do you remember your first gig or what that was?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I do remember my first gig. It was a training actually with USTA Southern. So it was pretty soon after grad school. And I had done a speaking engagement at a nonprofit conference, right? Unpaid. And then they had, one of the leaders had missed it. And so they came to me, we had a meeting, and then that was my first booked engagement, and they are still a client today, 7 years later.
Wow.
So really, really special. I always tell them, like, you know, USTA people are my people, because that was my first booked engagement, and did something with them just last year.
How has your speaking changed over the past 7 years? Like, I know my speaking has like, actually I was thinking about this analogy the the other day, like the misconception I had around speaking in the beginning really changed my speaking style and my content. Like in the beginning, I like to say I was a spotlight speaker, and now I'm more of a lighthouse speaker. And I would suggest everyone listening to like make this shift, whether mentally or actually physically. Like a lot of times when we think about speaking, it's like the TED stage, the spotlight is on you, and you, that's where a lot of our nerves come from too. When we're thinking, this is about me, like this is about me and my story, and everyone's looking at me, I need to be my best. And that is when I get like the most nervous, is when I think about speaking as like self-serving spotlight. But when I shifted my speaking to be less of a spotlight mentality, and what I like to say more of a lighthouse mentality, is I'm now shining the light as a guide for everyone else, is like, no, this isn't about making me look good. This is about using my story, including the things that make me look bad, to teach people a lesson. And in fact, most of the most powerful lessons come from some of our worst moments, or the times where I'm like, oh, I can't believe that happened. And so I feel like that shift from a spotlight speaker to a lighthouse speaker really changed my delivery, and it changed my business. It changed my tone. It also changed my nerves. So how has your speaking changed over the last 7 years?
Yeah, I love that analogy. That's so beautiful, being the lighthouse. And I would say mine is similar, where even, you know, some of the terms I used in the beginning were like, okay, this is, I help people, right? Now it's, I fuel people, right? And so really putting the onus on the individual. So I want to help fuel or help spark what's already inside of you. And so I think that's something that's really changed with me. Like, I'm not here, right, to do anything that's not already inside of you. I just want to spark that enthusiasm, right? Fuel your courage, fuel what's already inside. So I think mine is similar, where when you do think of it as I have to do well, like kind of like it's a performance, right? Okay, I'm getting on the stage, I have to perform well. It's very nerve-wracking. And then now when you just go, okay, if I'm just helping, right, five people in this audience, even if there's 500 who need to be more courageous for something very specific tomorrow or next week or next year, right, my job is done. And so not feeling like you have to perform, right, just really focusing. And I did, you know, to work on my nerves, I went to a coach, and something we focus on is just, how do you want the audience to feel? And that was a game changer. So before I go into every audience, right, I come in with, this is how I want them to feel. And it's right, it's not about me. This is what I want the audience to feel when I leave the room. And that just even shifted it for me.
One kind of exercise anyone can do who's listening or watching is, I like to say, write your future testimonial. So write what it is you want someone to say about you after hearing you speak, or after working with you, or whatever it might be. So it's like, I know that I want people to feel like they were at like the kitchen table, or like sitting across with a cup of coffee, and not like this very, you know, like speaking down. I want people to feel like I'm speaking to them on eye level. So I write that testimonial. And then when you're trying to find your style, it's like, well, am I emulating and am I following the thing that I want to be known for, and that I want the audience to feel, like you said. But to close, I'd love it if you could give anyone who is maybe just getting started in speaking, what's a piece of advice or something that has helped you either with courage and confidence, or just like, what do you want them to take with them as they enter into the speaking world?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think courage does help so much with speaking. And so I think what I would share is just to keep getting up, right, and consistently cultivating that courage, consistently taking steps towards your dreams. And so I think even what you just said with the testimonials is really important. You really have to take the time to reflect, right? The best speakers are reflectors. They are journalers. They are people who know how to tell their story really well to where it does spark others to want to make a change, right? With Jess, it's going to spark you to be more optimistic in your life, right? If you see me, hopefully you're going to go, yes, I need to be more courageous. And so I really would recommend people above all is to really focus on your story. We can get so bogged down by social media and other stories, but what is your story and just your special sauce?
I love that. Yeah. I like to tell people I think for a living. I'm like, my thoughts for better or worse is what my business is. Yeah. And that's great. Like, create before you consume. It's so easy, especially in the speaking world, like to sometimes consume too much to where your own voice and your own thoughts get lost. Like, there's a really fine line between inspiration and comparison that I've found. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's like, I want to be inspired by people while also knowing that I don't have to be them. And that's like a line that I'm still walking, but that's a really great point. And Antonetta, thank you so much for being here. And everyone, go buy Courage Candy, follow Antonetta on LinkedIn. You have a live series as well, don't you? That you do?
Yeah. We do podcast episodes. So yes, feel free, connect with me. And any questions you have about speaking, about Mic Drop, Academy, workshop, let me know. We are here to support. I will always cheer you on. So never be afraid. And I always say this, connect, please don't follow me. Please connect with me, because then it's a reciprocal relationship. So if you want to connect with me, don't just follow me. I want to follow all the, or know all the great things you're doing too.
Oh, I love it. Antonetta, thank you. Thank you everyone for tuning in, and we will see you all soon. Bye everyone.
Thanks for listening to Amplify. If you are a fan of the show, show us some podcast love by giving us a rating and review. And give us a follow at Mic Drop Workshop and at Jess Ekstrom. This episode was edited and produced by Earfluence, and I'm Jess Ekstrom, your host. Remember that you deserve the biggest stage, so let's find out how to get you there. I'll see you again soon.